people, the ones who succeeded at not eating the marshmallows, they either looked away, took themselves away completely, distracted themselves, did something else with their hands, did something useful, you could say, with their hands, keeping themselves completely far away from the situation. Today, if you'd want to turn your Bibles to Matthew 4, and a lot of people who are, might know what this is all about. In fact, all of you probably do. Sort of temptations that we see in our lives day to day. I'm not tweeting. I am, in fact, on my Bible app. Don't worry. Preaching is all right. So let's look into this. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Now, a lot of things that people pick up on this is that he is actually quite hungry. He's been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. I'm sure if I was fasting for a day, I'd be hungry. And I have done it. And I have been hungry. But the fact is that, think about it, this is Jesus fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. What do we do when we fast? We pray. Jesus has been prayed up for 40 days and 40 nights. He's going to be Super Saiyan by the end of this. He's going to be ready to go at anything. All prayed up. So today, let's look at lust of the flesh. If you look at him, he was hungry. Satan tempted him in his abilities. If you are the Son of God, you could say, if you are a child of God, if you are this, if you are so good, then why don't you do that? I was on a bus with my friend, and I was talking about the power of Christ and everything. We were having a discussion about authority, and I said, we've been given authority in Christ. And to be honest, I was getting a little bit prideful, because I said, I was almost saying, I have authority to tell Christ what to do. And I was very, very wrong, because he turned around to me and said, why don't you get that shop? I don't like that shop. Why don't you tell it to go into the sea? And it stopped me for a minute, and I went, oh, that man's got a business. Christ wants that man to be successful. He doesn't want it to be thrown into the sea. So I ended up coming off a little bit silly. I know that now. The devil also tempted him in his faith. If your God is so good, then why doesn't he catch you when you fall? Why doesn't he, when you throw yourself down, he'll catch you. Don't worry about it. Tempted him in faith. That's your pride of life, isn't it? And he also tempted him in his status. I'll give you all this if you just come and follow me. Not follow me, if you bow down and worship me. There's a difference there. Now, in Jesus, in these passages, he gave glory to God in his sufferings. And we can do that in our own lives, can't we? We can give glory to God. If we give glory to God in our sufferings, it will, you know, we know suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope. If we glory in our sufferings rather than in our glory, we'll see Christ move in such an awesome way in compared to what we can do in our own strength. Keep your eyes on Jesus the entire time. And we will have to glory in our own glory, because we'll already be glorified in him. We humble ourselves before him and he will lift us up. If you've got your Bibles, if you want to turn to Proverbs 28:14. Again, not tweeting. Proverbs 28:14. Blessed is the one who always trembles before God, but whoever hardens their heart falls into trouble. You can become numb to certain situations. It's like when we first get saved, you can't expect to get a dog from the pound. Give it a wash and it acts a completely different way. Suddenly start learning all these new tricks, suddenly be awesome. You can't expect that to happen overnight. You just can't. I mean, sometimes God does amazing things, but sometimes he's given us the grace to be able to improve in time, not suddenly Jesus. We're not Jesus. We're not. We're never going to be. You can't expect something to work immediately sometimes, but sometimes you can. So let's look at how can we be tempted. You find that those two boys, sitting there, each other. They both distracted themselves, didn't they? They both encouraged each other. And the two boys that were twins, I don't know if they ended up eating it. I don't know. But Jesus was alone in this passage in Matthew 4. He was alone by himself. And I don't know if you know, but, well, I found this out. Jesus was baptized and then he was sent to the desert to be tempted. And I thought that was so funny. Because the devil's after you as soon as you're born. The devil wants to drag you back into hell as soon as you exist on this earth. And in the same way Jesus knew who he was, this is my son to whom I am well pleased. He stood up and went, right, let's take on the devil. Let's take on the enemy. He was alone as well. He was in the early stages of his walk. Now, we don't know whether Jesus was actually tempted or whether... What we do know is that he was put into a position to be tempted. He was led by the Spirit to be tempted. And we can equally all be put into situations where we are tempted. We can be tempted by the devil himself or one of his cronies, our own flesh, our own memories. Oh, those were the days. Those were the days, weren't they? Yeah, that were really good. Yeah, great. Fantastic. We can be tempted by what we allow our eyes to see and what we perceive as good. We can be tempted by other people's influence. If we surround ourselves with people who aren't that fantastic in their walk with God, then we can find ourselves not being great in our walk with God. We can be put in ourselves in our own position and find that that's not in the will of God. If you look at David and Bathsheba, it said David, in fact, try and find it. I think it's in 2 Samuel 11. It says, 2 Samuel 11, in the spring at that time when kings often go to war. So we find that David was supposed to be going to war because all the other kings went to war. David didn't go to war. David wasn't in the position that God wanted him to be in. David put himself in a comfortable position where he could look and see a beautiful woman, beautiful lady across the water, across the place, valley, wherever he was. And it wasn't like he was sitting there going, oh no, I shouldn't look at that. Take your eyes away, put a curtain there, move house. He's the king, he can move house, can't he? You know, he stood there and went, I'm going to sit here and wait. Let this grow, let this temptation just keep growing. Bad position to be in, but I guess he knows that now. We can't overcome temptations in our own strength. That's why we need to humble ourselves and he will lift us up. Why are we tempted? We can be tempted because God wants you something down here that you need to use up here. Like Stephen Furtick actually said that. Nicking a bit there. Stephen Furtick said that you need to go down and get something from down here that you then use to help somebody in the position that God wants to put you in. We also need to realize that the devil is out there, and as soon as we're born, he's coming after us. Which is a bit unfortunate. So we need to rise up and build up children who are fantastic going for God, don't we? We need to say, this is the enemy. Well, I mean, a child at 2 years old isn't going to know that the devil's after him, isn't he? They're not going to understand. But you need to put them in a position then where the devil isn't. So let's look at Genesis 3. Fall of man. Another situation in the Bible. This is the fall. Now the serpent was more crafty than any wild animal. He said to the woman, did God really say? Now, God said. And if God says, then it's God's word. God said, don't eat that tree. So this woman went, oh, did God really say? Well, he might not have done. Oh. Yeah, he didn't. All right. The enemy lied and said contrary to God's word, and it put someone in a position where they were completely in the wrong. Who told you that you were naked? Now, if Adam had turned around in that position where Eve gave the fruit over to Adam, maybe Adam would have said, God, where are you? Come back. And he would have come. And he would have come and said, that's not good for you, put that down. But he didn't. He didn't seek God in that situation. He didn't look for that. He said, oh, tastes good, looks good. Smells good, like the marshmallows. Maybe if I eat one, I'll get another. Do you know what I mean? But then Jesus died on a cross for us. And then Jesus told us who we are in Christ. I am who you say I am. Something we need to realize is that a baby Christian can still move mountains. There's a fire that burns inside in your heart that nothing can overcome. Nothing can overcome that. You can put yourself in a situation where you trust God wholly and completely, not letting anything overcome it. There's someone, look, David, looking over there, going, no, my God's stronger than my feelings. I need to realize that that woman is not for me. She's married. Picking on David there. Now, it's something that we can use to overcome the problem. Now, Jesus used the word of God. But we have that. There's other things that we can do as well. He was prayer before the problem. He was after 40 days and 40 nights prayer and fasting. That's pretty, you know, like I said, super saiyan. Now, the Bible says in a certain... It says, if something is causing your life to sin, if your hand causes you to sin, chop it off. Now, read that. If your eyes are causing you to sin, yeah, horrible that, isn't it? Gouge it out. Ugh. Do something useful with your hands, it says. So cut it off, gouge it out, or you can do something useful with it. I think I'd prefer not to do that. What else does the Bible say about temptations that we face? Run. Get out of there. Flee. Not a brisk walk or a light fun run. Sprint, like you're in a horror movie, but in a good horror movie. Not in the terrible ones where they're kind of going, oh no. Run. Get out of there. You need to turn around and say run. Carol, look at Ian and say run. Can you all do that? Everybody turn around and say run. 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 Come off it. Now, as well as this, Matthew 4:10. Now, he does quote scripture here. He does quote, he says, Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and worship him only, serve him only. Now, he did use scripture, but he also said, away from me, Satan. He commanded the devil, he commanded the enemy and said, get away from me. My God's bigger, my daddy's bigger than you. He said, go away, get, you know, do one. You know, Johnny said recently, tell the problem about God. Submit to the word of God and resist the devil. You can say, through the power that Jesus has given you, I am a new creation. I can do all things through Christ. Romans 8:31. If God is for me, who can be against me? Now, you can also come to a brother or sister and say, I'm struggling with this. Can you help me? And they will do. Because that's what's so important about being rooted in a good church and being rooted in a neighborhood of people who are looking out for each other. And it's fantastic that we've got that here, because I can go into the back room and see 10 people praying for each other. And you don't see that in many churches. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, if you think you are standing firm, it says if you think. It's not great to start on a so, but you can read it for yourself. So, if you think that you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And, good bit, I like this bit, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can endure it. If you think about it, I gave this word to someone a while ago. It's like you're spelunking, you know, when they go cave diving. And they're always on a rope, I think. Never done it. Too scared. But they go down into the caves And at any point, this person can go, no, too dangerous, come out. But you go diving and you go looking and you go seeing what's down here. And then you get pulled out. So that's God on the person on the outside saying, you've had enough of that now, come out. You know? But it doesn't mean that he doesn't want you rummaging around. Just so that you become stronger. And after all, blessed is the man who does not condemn himself for what he approves. Don't condemn yourself for something that you've been put into a situation for. If you've done something and you regret it and you repented, do not condemn yourself, because Jesus was condemned for you 2,000 years ago. Don't know if it was specifically 2,000 years ago. It might not be based on your theology, I don't know. But the fact is that he was bruised for your transgressions, punished for your iniquities, and by his stripes, you are healed. And that doesn't mean healing as in, well, it does mean healing as in, if you break your finger, Jesus, heal it, it's healed. Doesn't mean that if you chop your arm off because you've been too busy tempted because you've chopped it off, that doesn't mean that he's going to heal that. Or if you've gouged your eye out, he's not going to heal that, maybe not. Maybe he will, I don't know. I have to ask him. Those who have gouged their eyes out. We need to realise that God's bigger. Now, some of you are parents. Can you imagine having a child who beats themselves up as much as we do? Because if they did, then we'd never leave the house. Because we do beat ourselves up. We've repented. It's not an issue. God's dealt with it. Move on. Happy days. Amen. Now, we can't be looking at what we see. Okay? Amen? If you look at a burning building, I'm using a lot of analogies. If you look at a burning building with lots of fire, and there's a building on fire, wee, 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 there's an ambulance, not ambulance, ambulance maybe there, fire truck coming, put out the fire, sort it out. That fire may not even be visible yet. You might not even be able to see the fire. You might not even notice that there's a fire. You might be driving down the road. Oh, a bit of smoke. Nothing. You can look at a building that's on fire and not see anything coming out of it. But as soon as sparks come out, someone might tread on it. And what I'm saying here is your outward expression. You know that there's a fire on the inside of you. You know that, or you should know that, because there is. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, there is a fire inside you that nothing can overcome, ever. And don't look at that and say, just because I can't move my shop doesn't mean that there isn't a fire in there, because there is, and it will overcome everything. The same power that lives in Christ lives in you. Now, the enemy will come and they'll try and stomp the little sparks out that you see. That's your outward expression of what you see. The little sparks flying every now and again, the fruit that you've seen from your life being filled with the Holy Spirit, that's what you see, the little sparks, and you go, oh, no, don't. Tread on them. Just because they've gone. Maybe they haven't gone. Maybe they have. I just really feel that God wants me to, actually, I really feel that there's someone here that maybe you feel that there's your spark's gone out. You haven't seen much of God recently. You haven't seen much of God bearing fruit in your life. You haven't seen that there's an enemy coming along and putting out these little sparks. They're the outward expression, the fruit. But you know, an apple tree, if it's planted, it can grow and grow, but it won't produce apples for a long time. God's producing fruit in your life. And just because you can't see the fruit doesn't mean that it's not there. You're firm and you're rooted. And maybe you know you are. You know you are. You know the house is on fire. The house is ablaze, but soon that house is going to go up in flames. Andy will probably know very well how quickly a house can go down. And I'm not saying that God's going to burn you down. I'm saying he's going to light up the neighborhood. Using you as a beacon, a light. Gets bright, doesn't it? Fire. Burn magnesium long enough, it can be blind. And you know, I really believe God's saying that everybody around you will be blinded and they won't understand it. They won't understand the light that's coming from you, but you can turn around to them and say, I've got a power that's greater. It's not me. It's Jesus. I really think someone needs to realize in this room that there is a fire that is burning within you. And you can say to that stake, that's enough now. I'm going to go for my pudding. Whatever you say. My point is, the power that is within you is greater than that steak. No, greater than the temptation to eat the steak. No, greater than the feeling that you will get from eating that. So do prayer and fasting. It's great. I wonder if David suddenly realized, oh no, after he was with Bathsheba. In fact, yeah, he did, because he had to kill her husband. He suddenly realized. Let's look at Judas as well. Judas betrayed Jesus, did something horrible. Put our Savior on a tree, put my Lord and Savior on a tree 2,000 years ago, and he couldn't bear it, so he hung himself. Maybe if he'd have repented and sorted himself out, maybe he wouldn't have gone that way. Fact is that we can be tempted by things and overcome. I'm aware that I'm putting people to sleep. Amen.